moment to hear a word from you on high. I pray that you will continue to open our ears that we may hear you, our eyes that we may see you, and our hearts that we may receive your message. And then, Lord, I pray for those families out in Kansas who lost loved ones, senseless killings again. I pray that you will be with them during this difficult time. For it's in your Son Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I will read our scripture lesson today. Our scripture lesson is found in Luke, the Gospel of Luke, the 13th chapter, starting at verses 31 through 35. And Steve will put that on the board. Will you stand and read with me? I think this is a wonderful, wonderful scripture. Let's read it boldly together. Okay. At that time, some Pharisees came to Jesus and said to him, "Leave this place and go somewhere else. Herod wants to kill you." He replied, "Go tell that fox. I will keep on driving at demons and healing people day and tomorrow. And on the third day, I will reach my goal. In any case, I must press on today and tomorrow. The next day, for surely no prophet can die outside of Jerusalem. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you killed the prophets and stoned those sent to you. How often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen urges the chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. Look, your house is left in desolate. I tell you, you will not see me again until you say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'" Amen. You may be seated. The word of God for the people of God. My message will not be long today. I'm going to keep it short because I'm reminded of a story told by a children's Sunday school teacher. The Sunday school teacher asked her little children as they were on their way to the church service, "And why is it necessary to be quiet in church?" One little girl raised her hand. She was eager to answer. She replied, "Because people are sleeping." So I don't want to put you to sleep today, so my sermon will not be long. In our scripture lesson today, Jesus continues to be confronted by those who were opposed to his teachings and to his miracles. And his biggest critics were the Jewish religious leaders, especially the Pharisees. Now, during Jesus' time, there was no such thing as separation between church and state. The priests of the temple in Jerusalem not only affiliated over the religious life of the Jews, they were also rulers and judges over the Jewish people. For example, if there was a dispute among the people, they would go to the religious leaders. The Pharisees were part of a very elite group of religious leaders, and they were the most critical of Jesus' ministry. They were angry and they were eager for the law of Moses. Now remember that God gave the law to Moses for Moses to give the law to who? To his people. And that's where we get the Ten Commandments from. But the leaders were eager for the law, but they did something different. The Jewish people also were the keepers of the oral traditions. In other words, the religious leaders began to extend the law of God by way of oral tradition. In other words, they began to add to the law. You ever talk with some people who think that they are Bible scholars and they'll quote a scripture, and you say, oh my God, I never interpret that that way. That's so far out. Well, that was the religious leaders of Jesus' day. For example, the law said, simple. God said simply, this, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. But by way of the religious leaders' oral tradition, by them adding to the law, they decided that too much walking on the Sabbath was an affront to God's law, because they considered it work. So they added this to God's law. They said that a person could not walk more than 2/3 of a mile on the Sabbath day. How they measure 2/3, I don't know. But if you went over 2/3 walking on the Sabbath, you had broken what? The law. They also concluded that even healing someone on the Sabbath was against the oral law, because the religious leaders interpreted it to be work. Guess what? Jesus, our Lord and Savior, deliberately broke the Pharisees' oral traditions, because Jesus knew that they were human-made rules that had not come from God. His favorite day to heal people, can you guess which day? The Sabbath. That was his favorite day. He knew that it would upset the leaders. And so when they were going to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, where all of the religious leaders would be gathered, and there would be a person there asking Jesus for help, reaching, Lord, help me, help me. And Jesus sometimes would heal, and they would get up and walk. Religious leaders, can you believe that he's working on the Sabbath? The Pharisees would become highly upset, not because Jesus broke God's law, but their interpretation of the law. God had commanded the Sabbath to be a day of rest from labor and a time to worship him. What better way to worship God than for a person to be healed on the Sabbath? What better way to worship God on the Sabbath than to give somebody a helping hand? But the Pharisees did not see it like that. The religious leaders added all types of restrictions to the Sabbath, making it difficult, if not impossible, to observe the Sabbath. On one occasion, when the Pharisees challenged Jesus regarding his healing on the Sabbath, Jesus says this. Oh, I just love the way that Jesus would be so calm, but he would respond in such a way that all they could do would put their heads down and walk away. Jesus says to them, he said, is it legal to do good deeds on the Sabbath, or is it a day for doing harm? And is this a day to save lives or to destroy lives? God's law was meant to lead people to love God and their neighbors. But the oral law caused division for our brothers and sisters. We aren't following God's law. Jesus said one important law. This is what Jesus said when the Pharisees approached him one day. And they were just going on and on about it. It may have been about his disciples, apostles, picking corn on the Sabbath day out of the field to eat. And the Pharisees said, it's the Sabbath. What are they doing? They're working. They are working. And Jesus says the Sabbath is what made for man and not man made for the Sabbath. In other words, my disciples, we are hungry. And so we should not do that. But Jesus says to them on this occasion, he says, let me be clear. There are two laws that you should follow, that you ought to follow, that should be at the forefront of your lives. And then if you follow these two laws, everything else will fall into place. One, love God with all of your heart and all of your soul. The other one, love your fellow human being as yourself. He said, if you do these two things, then everything else will fall into place. Jesus' relationship with the Pharisees should be a lesson to all of us. If our zeal for life leads us to contempt for our brothers and sisters, we aren't following God's law. Jesus also said, love God, love God, love God. And he said it again, love other human beings. On this particular day in our scripture that we read, the Pharisees came to Jesus as if they were concerned about him. They claimed that Herod wanted to have Jesus killed. The gospel lesson of Luke speaks clearly of Jesus' courage and determination in facing and standing up to the Pharisees. He had a purpose and would not be distracted by outside threats. Jesus knew that he was on a mission for his Father, and there was no way he would stop his work and go into hiding. The first time I read this passage of scripture, I was surprised by the message coming from, of all people, the Pharisees. I asked myself this question. I said, why would the Pharisees want to warn Jesus that Herod wanted to kill them? Because not all, most certainly nothing is all, because not all, but a great number of the Pharisees wanted to kill Jesus themselves. Remember, it was the religious leaders who called for Jesus' what? Crucifixion. Based on scripture. After I scratched my head, I said, now why are they doing that? But based on scripture, I began to think of a number, and I began to do some research. I began to think of a number of possible reasons why the Pharisees would not want to warn Jesus. And I came up with five reasons. There may be more. So based on our scripture, these are the ones that I came up with of why they would not want to warn Jesus. Number one, Jesus was a threat to their, they perceived Jesus as a threat to their religious system, including their oral law, because Jesus began to tell the people that that was not the intent of the law. He pointed out the hypocrisy that was connected with their practices. Yet, they wanted to warn Jesus? I don't think so. Number two, the people with whom Jesus socialized irritated the religious rulers. The religious leaders were filled with pride. It was pride and arrogance. We are the religious leaders in the community, and we associate with only people we perceive to be righteous. And here comes Jesus having dinner with sinners, having dinner with tax collectors, sitting down with women, in the company of men. We don't socialize with them. We don't socialize with women. Women stay home. We don't socialize with tax collectors. And here he is. And yet they wanted to warn this man. Number three, Jesus' claims prevailed over their authority. When Jesus claimed to be the Messiah, it meant his authority outweighed their authority. The attention Jesus was getting brought out the leaders' jealousy. They were jealous of Jesus because people were beginning to pay more attention to Jesus than they did them. And then, yet, they came to warn Jesus. Number four, his healing power outraged the religious leaders. They were outraged that this man was able to cast out demons. A man who could raise folk from the dead and not even go there. The man came to ask Jesus to go come to his house to heal his son. Jesus did what? Spoke a word. So all he had to do was speak a word. And the message began to get out. Jesus would heal folk and he would say, don't tell anybody. But can you imagine not having been able to walk for years? And now you're able to get up, you can walk and you can run and not tell anybody? Oh, they would run and tell the good news of Jesus. So the Pharisees were upset that Jesus was beginning to perform all of these miracles. And number five, and lastly, they were upset because Jesus was a threat to their way of life. There were political reasons that the religious leaders wanted Jesus dead. There was an unstable situation between the Jews and the Romans at the time of this text. Romans were in charge of Jerusalem, but the religious leaders had more freedom and under the table. You know what that means. They were given special monies and things because they were being used by who? By the Romans. There were political reasons. Now, come on. And they wanted to protect Jesus by running and telling Jesus somebody wants to kill you. After the messengers finished, Jesus replies to them. He said, you go and you tell that fox that I will keep on driving out demons and healing people today and tomorrow. And on the third day, I will reach my goal. Who was the fox? Or foxes, I say. Who? Who were they? I contend that it was both Herod and the messengers. They both wanted to get rid of Jesus. But like the fox, they did not want to dirty their hands. What foxes do? They don't want to dirty their hands. They want to get someone else to do the dirty work. Herod was known for his deceitfulness. Jesus uses the term fox to indicate that he understood the scheme. It was a trick of Herod and the Pharisees to get rid of Jesus, to get Jesus out of Galilee. This took place in Galilee. They wanted him out of Galilee where he was becoming more popular. But there's another reason. Because Herod was raised as a Jew and he was supposed to be committed to the Jewish culture and the Jewish people. But Jesus was in Galilee, which was his territory. And he and the religious leaders did not want it to be said that they killed Jesus. They wanted to send him over into Pilate's territory so he could be killed over somewhere else. To reinforce that leaders had no control over him, Jesus says, I will keep on driving out demons and healing people today and tomorrow, and on the third day, I will reach my goal. On the third day, I finish my work. The third day sounds like a reference to what? The resurrection. In other words, Jesus was saying, you think that I have power now. You just wait. Just wait on the crucifixion, but I want you to wait on the resurrection, and you will see some power. all of God's people will have an opportunity for their sins to be forgiven because they believed in me. All of those who want to believe in me, and not only will their sins be forgiven, but they can have, they will have eternal life. Eternal life with me and my Father. Power on the third day. On the third day. There's a big difference. A big difference on being wise and being crafty. To be wise is an attribute of God. To be crafty is that of Satan. Jesus was wise, and the fox thought he was what? Crafty. In no uncertain terms, Jesus let Herod and the Pharisees know, I'm going to Jerusalem. I'm on my way to Jerusalem. I'm going to enter Jerusalem because my Father has already preordained me to go there. Yet today, tomorrow, and the next day, I must be on my way. Tell that fox. We need to be bold as Christians. When things come into our lives, even sickness. All sickness is not unto death, even if medical doctors say so. Jesus can override death. Jesus can speak a word and death will stand still. Jesus can speak a word and you'll get that job that you thought you weren't going to get. Jesus can speak a word and bring peace into your home. Jesus can speak a word and addictions will go away. Jesus can speak a word and bring peace in our lives. Jesus said, I give you that peace which surpasses all human understanding. I leave with you my peace. In other words, things may be chaotic and out of control, but you have peace within because you know that God is what? In control. Jesus was saying this to the foxes. He says, tell the fox that my work is yet not done. Tell that fox that I do not fear him. Tell that fox I will continue to drive out evil demons. Tell that fox that victory shall be mine. Tell that fox that I will continue to set people free from diseases. Tell that fox that before I'm crucified, I will continue to tell people about the love that my Father has for all people. Tell that fox that my job is to set God's people free from their sins by my Father's grace and mercy and my death. Tell that fox that I want people to understand that through God all things are possible. I will continue to let people know that faith is the key to the kingdom of God. Tell that fox that my followers need to know that God will continue to supply all of their needs. And I'm not going to stop until I finish the story. Jesus was on a mission. As Christians, we too should be on a mission. We are on a mission to continue the work of Jesus Christ. Because of the cross, we are set free. All of our sins are forgiven. Victory is ours. Victory. Satan is disguised as the fox. Doesn't want us to enjoy life here on earth. For we know that after this life. Oh, and I love this. One occasion, Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. How many of you live in a mansion? Let me see your hand. I'm talking like $6 million mansion with 15 bedrooms and 10 bathrooms. Jesus say, I go to prepare a place for you. Not a just a place, but a mansion. In other words, you live better in heaven than you did here on earth. I go to prepare a place for you. Throughout Lent, we are preparing ourselves to experience Jesus' cross. And like Jesus, we should boldly proclaim the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let the foxes know that we come in the name of the Lord. We are his followers. We have his message. And we have his power. We will finish the work that God has called us to do. And we will not stop until it's done. Reverend James cannot stop preaching until God says it's time to stop. I can't stop preaching, although I want to, until God says what? It's time to stop. God says not yet. You're doing some things that you may want to stop doing, but you can't until what? God says it's time to stop. We too are wiser than the fox. We too can say to the fox, I will remain on this journey. I will not give up. I will not let anything, trials or tribulations keep me from worshiping God and doing the will of God. Watch out for the fox. The foxes in your lives. I'm reminded of this story. A cunning fox sat by a riverbank, eyeing all of the delicious-looking schools of fish swimming in the river. They were moving about in every direction. The fox began to get hungry and impatient, and the fox called to the fish. He says, come here, I need to talk with you. Good fish, he says. Why are you jumping about so much in the river? The fish stopped to respond to him. They said, we are desperate. We are desperate to stay out of the way of the fisherman's net. The fox licking his lips. He says to them, are you sure you don't want to come up here on the land with me and live with me? Just as our ancestors did long ago. That would be so much safer if y'all got out of the water, came up here with me. And the fish began to laugh. They were just beside themselves. They were laughing and laughing. And one of them finally said, you're the animal with the reputation of being the smartest among all of the species. And actually, you are the dumbest. If we're fishing, if we're swimming here in our natural habitat, and we're terrified of being captured and killed, how much more terrified would we be to come out of the water and on the land and sit with you? You get it? The fox was our fox. The fish knew if they came out of the water, the fox would destroy them. Church, we have to forever be on our guard. We are protected by the blood of Jesus. We are under the wings of God. I would rather be in the water with Jesus than on dry land with Satan. Be like Peter. Jesus said, come. And Peter was walking on water. And he looked down, he got scared, and what happened? He began to sink. So that's a lesson to us. If Jesus says, come on the water, you can't swim, don't look down, keep walking. Keep walking. Keep walking. Keep walking towards Jesus. Keep in mind that by our love for Jesus and all human beings, we can draw others to Christ. Even some foxes may change their minds and serve Christ. Remember the thief on the cross? By our attitudes, we may get a fox to convert. Remember the thief on the cross, the two thieves. One was just ridiculing Jesus. If you're the Messiah, save yourself, come down and save us. The other one said, listen, We are the criminals. We did what they accused us of doing. We're getting to the punishment that we deserve, but this man has done nothing. What? They recognized that Jesus was the Messiah. He honored Jesus as the Messiah. He said, Jesus, when you get to heaven, remember me. Jesus said, this day, for this day, you will be with me. And so by our attitude and our actions, we can bring even foxes to Christ. I was reminded of this story. Anybody sleep yet? I'm almost finished. A devoted cowboy lost his favorite Bible while he was mending fences. It was given to him by his great-grandmother's Bible. Well, 3 weeks later, a fox walked up to him carrying the Bible in his mouth. The cowboy couldn't believe his eyes, and he looked toward heaven, and he said, thank you, Lord. Oh, what a miracle. The fox said, not really. Your name is written inside the cover. Our names are written because we believe in Jesus Christ. Our names are written where? In the book of eternal life. That's where our names are. I would like to believe that this fox who found the Bible, I would like to believe that he read scripture and that he decided to change his life, get rid of those old ways and come to follow Jesus. So that was the plan. Your Bible will help a fox turn around. Our lives can help a fox come to Christ by the way we live and the way that we treat and love God's people. I want you to do this for me from this day forward. When the fox comes, when the fox approach you, the fox get in your house, you say, and you fill in the blank yourself. Or when dissensions spring up, you say, go tell that fox. And you fill in the blank. For me, it's go tell that fox that I'm going to serve God until I die. You may as well get behind me, Satan. Because that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to treat people with respect and dignity for the rest of my life. Because we all deserve to be treated with what? Respect and dignity. You go tell that fox that I will never, ever dishonor God knowingly. So what do you want to tell that fox? Tell the fox. Let the church say amen. Amen. Amen.